Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. And, well, what a beautiful day outside. I mean, it's warm and it's a little muggy, but it's Northeast Ohio in the middle of July. This is what we expected in this part of the country. But I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon and that you will stick with us not only after we're on, but also after our program. I listen to Pastor Rusnacko, Andy Rusnacko, with his program. He's a pastor of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio. Hope you had a chance to listen to Pastor Lutz before us at 1 o'clock, and pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. And then, of course, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And we are located at 5171 Brecksville Road. That's midway between Akron and Cleveland. And we are meeting at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. So find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And then, of course, you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral, and you can go from our webpage to there at livewithpastoral.com. You can also find our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, all from there. Not sure what YouTube is doing today. I believe it's streaming, but can't get it to share over to Facebook. Normally, at the beginning of the program, we share it over to Facebook, and the link doesn't appear to want to do it, so we'll try that again. A lot of times people like to go on and watch it from our Facebook page, so we'll give that a try here again momentarily. But today I have a special program, and I have with us in the studio today, and I have Brother James Maletti. And, you know, I before he comes on, I do have to make mention of one thing here. He's been known to harass little old ladies on the street.
They harass us, Pastor Al. The little old ladies have been coming after us. And, you know, just for the listener's sake, there's a lot of frivolity that goes on before Pastor Al's red light for on air is on. And if you had only known the frivolity that goes on here, seems to be a regular occurrence. But what he's referring to is, we were out passing out some gospel tracts, and we're planting a church, and we were giving the information about the church plant to a lady that was outside in the wide open outdoors wearing a mask, and she was berating us before we even stuck out our hand to give her a card because we didn't have a mask on. And that led to a conversation of which the mask-prone people can't have a conversation. They can only berate you. So the berating was coming at us, not from us.
Well, and it also reminds me, we were talking before, I saw a thing, a Target store or something had a display of masks with a little mirror so you could try on the face mask to see which one you like. I thought, well, what could possibly be going wrong there? I mean, that's, why not? Try the mask on. Share your germs.
Right. They have the underwear display right next to it with the same
I think so, yeah. But Brother Maletti's in the studio with us. Would you like to introduce your wife?
Yes,
for
sir.
Us as
this
well?
Is my wife, Rebecca Maletti.
Hello.
We've been we're members of Cleveland Baptist Church, but the reason Pastor Al was so kind to have us on is we're planting now a church right on the border of Westlake and Rocky River called the River Westlake Baptist Church. And the exact address is 22965 Detroit Road in Westlake. The actual mailing address is in Westlake, but it's literally right on the border of Westlake and Rocky River. The sign, as a matter of fact, for the border is right in front of our church. And we're starting literally from scratch, going to build up from the ground, and Bible studies are forming now. So if anybody's in that area and you're at all interested in reading through the King James Bible together and being on the ground floor before we even start our very first service, give us a call or come to our website. I'll give both our phone number if you want to call for information or to discuss what's going on is 216-526-5103. Or if you want to go on our website and check things out, it's www.riverwestlakebc.com. That stands for River Westlake Baptist Church. .com, but the address is riverwestlakebc.com, and there's all kinds of information. You can sign up for Bible studies, and we'd love to get this Bible study going. And it's a tough area, Pastor Al. It's, you know, they're kind of well-to-do people mm-hmm. that have done well all their lives,
yeah.
and they don't need to hear what you're talking about. I'm doing great. Leave me alone. Everything has worked out fine, obviously. Look at my big house and my good-looking wife and my fancy cars, and everything's going good. Don't trouble me with this. And we've found it's a tough area.
Well, I've heard people say that before, because some people, they like to go into the lower income areas because people there see their need generally greater, but they're not challenge free either, because
right.
you sometimes deal with a lot of people who've just given up. But when you go into some of these areas where people are prosperous, they see their material wealth, they see the things that they have, and they think, well, what do I need? And sometimes you start to wonder, can these people be reached? But they need to be reached just as well as anybody else.
Absolutely. But we were going to make a tract specifically for this. Their most common phrase is, no thanks, I'm good. So we're going to make a tract that says, no thanks, I'm good. And they say, wait, look at this. It's incredible. You just said these words, and now here's a tract with it. You've got to read it. So we may produce one of those tracts that says, no thanks, I'm good. But at Cleveland Baptist Church, for over 3 years, I taught the guys at the City Mission. And you know, obviously those guys have fallen on some hard times. But they're very open. A lot of them are very open to hearing what God has to say. And so far, as we've passed out hundreds and hundreds of tracts so far in the Rocky River and Westlake area, the people are relying on their wealth to get them through.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm scared. I hope we can crack this hard shell.
Well, and when we look at...
I should take that back. I don't want to interrupt. I hope the Holy Spirit can crack their hard shell.
Oh, yeah, and He uses us. We're the tools that He uses.
Right.
And I was going to say, when we look at what's happening in the world, you know, a lot of people are panicking, and you've probably run into this. We were joking about the lady with the mask and having a panic attack there. and these things are taking place. You know, it's like nothing more to be more fearful of than a disease that, you know, has a 99%+ survival rate. You know, that's a pretty fearful thing.
And these masks have become like a symbol of your submission to your communist overlords. I mean, I say that in a little bit of jest, but it's really true. It's like a delineation line. You're going to buy into what they say no matter what and prove it with this mask mm-hmm. on your face, or you're going to think for yourself and actually understand the science and the studies that have gone on and present that with no mask, because you actually have a mind that's thinking independently mm-hmm. of this herd mentality. Boy, it's really something what's happening right now.
Well, and I was talking about that, trying to, you know, the idea that people are panicking.
They are.
And people yeah. whose wealth, you know, and everything, they put all their trust in their wealth, and it's just something they can't see, something they don't understand, causing them to panic. Mm-hmm. But when we think about this, as Christians... You know, Christians from the time of Christ, you know, from the very first Christians, we have had to deal with life-threatening situations, opportunities that cause people fear and panic. You know, God's not given us a spirit of fear. And so as a result, we look to the Lord, and He gives us the hope. He gives us the direction that we have. And hopefully it opens doors for us to talk to some of these people that trust in their wealth. What I wanted to get at here before time gets away from us is how you and your wife came to know Christ as your Savior. Because if some of our listeners are listening, and you've been on our radio program filling in for me in the past, and also Pastor Lutz before us, you filled in for him a number of times. But some people from, here in Northeastern Ohio, the Milletti name might sound familiar because because first time I met you folks, I thought, boy, I wonder if he's related to the guy that built the Coliseum in Richfield. Because growing up in Richfield, I remember when the Coliseum was built. I remember the opening night, and it
was. Were you there?
No, I was. I was at my house, but the traffic was backed up all the way down State Route 303 from where the Coliseum is, going west. All the way down, almost to the Medina County line. It went past our road, and the road I grew up on. We were probably about a mile from the county line, heading west, going into Medina County and Hinckley. And the traffic was backed up past our road, headed. Actually, the county line was closer than that.
Well, I was there. I was there. I was in that traffic. There was a number of ladies. You know, it was a big gala event. The opening was Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra was opening the Coliseum, the very first thing, October 1974, that was. And there were cars. You couldn't even drive on the highway. It was jam-packed. It was stopped, and it was snowing. And people were getting out of their car, walking from wherever they were. They were just abandoning their car, even on the highway, and they were trudging across whatever you would call that area of grass in between the highway and where you're going. They would trudge across that, ladies in their ball gowns and guys in their tuxedos, trudging across the snow to get there. We actually had to have a police escort get our car, because to answer your original question, yes, that's my dad. He was the one that built the Coliseum and various other things in Cleveland. And so he needed to obviously be at the Coliseum for the opening.
Well, yeah, it's kind of the guy that built it responsible for it.
And hired Frank Sinatra.
See Frank Sinatra on the stage looking at his watch going, well, you know, I'd start singing, but, you know.
There were medallions handed out that were souvenirs of that night that had Frank Sinatra on one side and my dad on the other side.
Wow.
And people still come up to me to this day, however many years later, and say, hey, look at this. Do you have this? Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
So now we were talking about going into Westlake and reaching people who are, by the world standards, very successful.
Yes.
Well, obviously, you were in by the world standards, a very successful background. How did God reach you?
Well, it's the easiest story in the world. I was at the mall, the Westgate Mall, one day and years ago, and passed by a bookstore that had a dollar bin with Bibles in it. And I figured, you know, this is the world's best-selling book. I know absolutely nothing about it, and I should get one for a buck. So I plopped down a buck. I got it. It was like one of those ones where it's printed on phone book paper so thin.
Right.
And I would read that Bible in bed. Off and on, you know, obviously no Bible reading schedule, didn't really understand what was going on, but I looked at it as kind of a history book, and I wanted to get familiar with it because, like I say, it's the world's best-selling book, and I didn't know a thing about it. So I would read it every now and again for years, and one day, lying in bed next to my wife, I was reading the Gospel of John. It sounds like a cliche. I don't remember what specific verse, but all of a sudden, I believed what it said. It made sense. It suddenly made sense. I started literally weeping like a baby. Like I say, it sounds like a cliche. I started weeping like a baby. I even remember the first words I said as a saved individual. I looked over at my wife and said, "It's so beautiful."
Mm.
And I believed it. And 5 minutes before, I didn't believe it. I was just reading it like a history book.
Wow. Well, you know, faith cometh by hearing.
And hearing by the word of God.
The word of God, exactly. Right. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, the Bible says, for a reason. It goes right to the heart, doesn't it?
Right. But it also separates people, too, because they'll read it and say, that's it, I don't want anything to do with this. I don't believe it, and I'm never going to believe it. It separates people that way, too. It doesn't come back void. Sometimes, though, it doesn't come back positively. It can cause negative, too.
Yeah.
You can say, forget it.
I
don't believe this, and I'm never going to believe it. And you get hardened, too. Fortunately for me, I believed it. I believed it, and faith is belief. You get saved by your belief.
Amen. Amen. And, I have to ask then, Rebecca, did you think your husband went crazy or something? Lost his mind?
As a matter of fact, it was right around that time that I got saved also. So we were, because of our circumstances and where we weren't in a church. So we didn't have this, you know, kind of guidance to say, this is what you need to do now. So we really had to rely on the Holy Spirit to kind of, I guess, disciple us. We were listening to a lot of radio programs on the station, you know, and kind of finding our way that way. And the Lord did bring us, after a little bit of time, to a good church, you know, where we could learn and grow. But it's amazing.
But it is amazing how God worked independently in both of your lives.
Yes.
And then from that moment on, you became a dyed-in-the-wool King James only Bible-believing Baptist church planner, right?
It took a little bit of time. I didn't know anything about King James or anything else. I didn't know anything about anything. Pastor L, I was raised totally without any religious thoughts from my parents, who are both atheists, but to their credit, they never told me, don't believe in God. They just mm-hmm. never brought it up ever. So right. I didn't, when I got saved, I didn't know the difference between a Catholic or a Christian or a Baptist or a King James or NIV. I didn't know any of that. You couldn't start with a blanker slate than where I started with. So, and Pastor Lutz, as a matter of fact, gave me Gail Ripplinger's book, New Age Versions.
Right.
And that book is like 700 pages about the monstrosities that are the NIV and the ESV and all that kind of stuff, and the inspiration of the King James Bible. And I read all 700 pages of that book, and there was no doubt anymore about that. I didn't have any doubt about King James as being the only Bible, and all the rest being just Bible-ish books.
Well, and you know, I think when you have a teachable spirit, God will get through to your hearts and everything.
Well, I guess I should probably say how I actually ended up getting saved. Mm-hmm. I was saved out of the New Age. And one of the things that I noticed, people had been praying for me for a long time. And one of the things that I noticed was there was a significant contradiction between what the New Agers believe and what they professed. Mm-hmm. They would believe that everybody was, every religion was okay. But when it came down to Jesus Christ and salvation through belief in Jesus Christ, the exclusivity of Christ was something they could not tolerate.
Right.
And so when I was in a meeting, a person cursed the name of Christ. And I had been brought up Catholic, so I had an understanding of what Jesus did. I had a head knowledge of what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. But it was in that meeting when this person came so strongly against Christ that I believed that he was truly the way. I had been seeking for a long time, looking mm-hmm. at different things, and nothing was working. And then when I did finally put my faith in him, that was how I came to be saved. And then I went on to preach Jesus to the people in the New Age store, and they didn't like it.
They fired her.
Yeah, they did fire
her. I
was just going to say, it's amazing how tolerant the tolerant crowd is.
It sure is.
You can believe anything you want, except what they don't like.
Yes.
And you can say anything you want except what they don't want you to say. And you can do anything you want except what they don't want you to do. And that's why we're intolerant.
Right.
That's right.
And that's
right.
Exactly right.
Well, that's what I found quickly.
That includes everything, because Rebecca was very active in like shamanism mm-hmm. and Indian stuff and all kinds. She would try to drag me to these things. And so I would go, and I didn't even want to go, but I got to go and see this kind of stuff, mm-hmm. what was going on. And the intolerance of that tolerant group.
Oh, absolutely.
It's shocking. I mean, it's over the top.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just like what you see. You turn the news on or you go online and you see some of these peaceful demonstrators braining cops and others over the head with their protest signs saying, right. We stand for nonviolence.
Right.
You
know? While they're
we hate you haters, you know. Right. We will not tolerate you intolerant people.
Right.
You know, but see, most people don't think about these things.
Well, that's a brilliant trick of the devil starting in the 60s when all you need is love, but mm-hmm. they defined love as a different thing. Love should be wanting the best for somebody, and instead love is, in their minds, just putting up with whatever anybody does. It's a whole different idea of love, mm-hmm. and they push that love now still, that same different version of love, and they push it down everyone's throat. You're a hater if you don't love my sin.
It's mm-hmm. love defined outside of God. And the Bible says God is love.
Yeah,
God is love. It's just like the tolerance that they preach is tolerance mm-hmm. that is outside of the tolerance that Jesus would preach.
Yeah.
You know, it's something different.
Yeah, and looking at this idea of love, because it is, it's love outside of God. And their love also, too, is just like with many of these things. If you say, well, you know, I disagree with you, I still respect you as a person. I still love you as a friend. I disagree, but I just can't, you know, I'll tolerate what you say, but I just can't accept it. That makes you a hater right there because tolerance is not acceptable. You have to actively endorse them. And I think that gets to the heart of the sin matter, because there's a lot of people out there, just the same thing that we see people triggered if they see you without a mask, or if they hear that you went to a church service, you know, had more than 10 people, you know, and you do this, I think it triggers people because you're not drinking the same Kool-Aid that they're drinking. You're not panicking like they're panicking.
You're not affirming them in
exactly.
their whatever they've chosen to
do. Yeah, and so then that, I think, and I'll use the word triggered, no pun intended, but I think that triggers a response down inside, a spiritual response that maybe I'm not okay after all. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm really not good. Maybe what I believe isn't sufficient. And so for a lot of people, just like when Paul preached, he would go into a synagogue. He would open the scriptures. He would promote Christ, or preach Christ and present him as the Messiah. And some would believe, but some got upset. And then when you would go to the Gentiles, you'd do the same thing. Remember on Mars Hill, some yeah. got very upset.
But you know what they did? Not only did they get upset, but they got everybody else banded mm-hmm. together to come after him repeatedly. It's the same exact mm-hmm. thing that's happening. You can get upset, knock yourself out, but you go around and grab everybody else and then try to get a mob to come after the person mm-hmm. that you're upset with. It's the same thing that happened in the Bible.
They
in
want
Acts.
To shut down the truth.
Right.
Because it resonates in them. You know, Romans chapter 1, obviously, with just a few minutes left, we don't have time to read that, but it talks about how people know the truth. It's in them, but people suppress it. They really do. And so when we come along to share the truth, you can share all kinds of nonsense, all kinds of weird...
the New Agers have yeah. a Jesus. They believe in a Jesus, mm-hmm. but he is not the way, the truth, the life, what the Bible says he is.
They made up their own version of Jesus.
He's a nice, inclusive kind of
guru. He's a guy that'll
sorta.
Help you. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what all cults do, is they make up their own versions of the truth and of Jesus. Mormons have a Jesus, or what Jehovah's Witnesses have a Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
It's certainly Muslims, have,
Muslims
a Jesus,
have a Jesus,
but it's certainly not the Jesus of the Bible. They mm-hmm. made up their own version.
But when we come around and we present the Christ of the Bible, the Christ that is the only way, the only truth, the only way to the Father, and it's exclusive now. And there's a little spark down inside, I think, that resonates with people. Even in their lost condition, it resonates. And I remember when I was in the Air Force, I was stationed in England, and I was sitting at home one time or somewhere, and I was watching something on the television. The BBC was running some special on Elvis Presley. Now, when people think of Elvis Presley, the king, you know, he had the whole world. He had adoration of everybody. I mean, he just did money, anything you could imagine. And he was the next person that backed up the traffic as much as Frank Sinatra did, by the way, out at the Coliseum when he came out there. But this is what I remember. He had a thing where he was saying, he was reflecting, and he said, you know, all this that I have, there's a hole inside of me that I just can't fill. Well, that hole is in there to be filled by Christ. And so when you present that, and something triggers in people, I think it causes those reactions.
Because we were made to be in fellowship with God.
Exactly.
Sin has separated us from that fellowship. Everybody is supposed to be in fellowship with God. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So to say, when these Calvinists say that only certain people are called, that's so aggravating. It's so preposterous. Yeah. Everybody is called to be in fellowship. That's how we were created. Mm-hmm. It's the whole point of everything.
And that's what the Holy Spirit uses to draw us.
Yeah.
Yes. When we hear the gospel, when, like you said, you start reading that Bible. Faith cometh by hearing. So you're hearing by the word of God. So the word of God is percolating in slowly over time. And that little hole in there says, this is what needs to be filling in this.
Right.
So I know we're coming out, running out of time. But again, James and Rebecca Maletti, starting a church, River Westlake Baptist Church. Get my tongue tied here. Go ahead and give that information, your contact information.
Go to River Westlake Baptist Church's website is riverwestlakebc.com.
And you are starting Bible studies when?
As soon as we can get some people interested.
So if people are interested, they need to give you a call.
Yes, sir.
And they need to go onto your website and find out what they can do to become a part of this. And that's riverwestlakebc.com. Thank you, Brother Miletti.
Thank
Sister
you.
Miletti, for coming
Thank
in.
You. Thanks
Thank
for
you
having
for
us.
Your Thank stand you. For Christ. And we'll be praying for you and praying for those little old ladies that you were harassing.
I've been praying for her.
You're the real deal, Pastor Al. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks for listening today. Join us next time on Live with Pastor Al.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.